Have you ever thought about what made the difference in Simon Peter's life? One week, he is standing by the devil's fire, warming his hands. Jesus is being condemned to death just a few feet away. And one by one, prophecy happens. It is fulfilled. One person comes up to him and says, "I know who you are. You're one of his followers." And he lets out a slur of words and he says, "No, I'm not." And then another one comes by and says, "I've seen you with him. You are a Galilean." And he lets out another slur of words and says, "I don't know him." And the third time when he denies Jesus, the rooster crows. He's denied Jesus three times. The night before that, he said to Jesus, "I'll go to prison with you. I'll die for you. They will all abandon you but me." Fast forward to the day of Pentecost. It's just a few weeks later. Simon Peter stands up before thousands of people who have come for a Passover and have stayed on for the Pentecost week, the Feast of Tabernacles, and they're there to worship, they're there for religious purposes, and he stands up to preach. And he preaches an eloquent sermon about the cross. And 3,000 people get saved. You ever thought about how did that happen? What happened? Well, we know that one of the things that happened was Jesus went to Simon Peter on a one-on-one meeting after his resurrection, because those two on the road to Emmaus, when they came back, the disciples said to them, "He's appeared to Peter, and he's also appeared to us." And so there was some one-on-one time with Jesus, and Jesus, no doubt, just really got personal with him, and we don't know exactly what was said, but I imagine that he wanted to remind Simon Peter that his efforts would not be enough. He needed him to make the difference in his life. We also know that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down in that room, in the upper room where that 120 were praying, and it said that they were like cloven tongues of fire that just came and sat down over their head. The Spirit of God filled that place and anointed them for service. I am not of the belief that they didn't already have the Holy Spirit. I believe they did. Because do you remember Jesus breathing on them the Spirit of God weeks before in the upper in a room, and they received the Spirit even then. But this was a special anointing of the Spirit of God that came upon them. They would be able to speak. They would be able to do the work. They would be able to do tremendous things like miracles, you know, in the name of Jesus. So we know the Holy Spirit of God played a significant part, was the significant part to what happened on the day of Pentecost. But was there anything else that happened? I want you to take your Bibles to John chapter 19. I'm sorry, John chapter 21. Got 19 on the brain there also. And I'm going to read the better part of this chapter. So just hang on, buckle in, and just follow along. I'll have some things to say as we read down through it, and then I'll have the thrust of the message, and we'll go home. So in John chapter 21, verse 1, you have the headline. You guys like to read the paper, right? The headline is what catches your attention, isn't it? After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, at Galilee, and on this wise showed He Himself. Well, I just want to read on, don't you? Let's see what happens. Here's the story. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee. We know that's James and John, and two other of His disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go fishing. They say unto Him, we also will go with you. We'll go fishing too. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? They answered Him, no. And He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. Now, if you understand the context, that doesn't mean he's standing out there with nothing on. If they just had like their underclothes on, they considered that being naked. And so he had an outer and an inner. He put on the outer and did cast himself into the sea. The other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Isn't it interesting? Jesus didn't need them to catch any fish for Him to provide some for them. I want you to consider that. Jesus didn't need them to catch Him fish for Him to provide them a meal. Also something interesting, there's a fire of coals. You know, the last time Simon Peter's around a fire, you know what he's doing. And so here's a fire of coals and fish laid thereon and bread. He loves His disciples, doesn't he? And Jesus said to them, bring of the fish which you've now caught. He's going to have them add to what He has. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask Him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then coming and taking bread, gave to them the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed Himself to His disciples, after that He was risen from the dead. Come and dine. That's the words that the Master said. And you know what happened? They enjoyed a meal together. You know what I think the Lord's still saying? Come and dine. You know, I think about the prodigal son coming home. What did the father do when he came home? He made a meal. There's just something about a meal together with other family members. It's just special. It's a moment in life where you're at peace, I hope. You're enjoying something good and nutritious, and you are full, and you're able to just sort of let down and everything in the world can be cast aside for just a little while you're enjoying a meal together. You know what we're going to do in heaven? I understand that we're going to have a marriage feast. And I don't know how long that's going to go on. There's no time in heaven. But you know what? There's still a chair at the table for a lost sinner who can be in the family. Amen? And He's saying, come and dine. He's saying that to us who are His family. And I believe He's saying that to lost people. And here's where we're headed with all of this. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? And he said, Lord, yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my lambs. Now let's just stop right there. There's a lot of discussion about what Jesus is talking about when he said, do you love me more than these? Talking about the fish, or is he talking about the boat, or is he talking about the job with the nets and all of that involved? Is he talking about the disciples? What is he talking about? Well, I think he's looking at Simon and he's looking at these other disciples and he's saying, do you really love me more than these other disciples do? You know the answer to that, don't you? Probably not. I don't think he loved him any more than John did, or Matthew, or Bartholomew, Nathaniel. I don't think he loved him any more than any of those other men, James. Simon, do you love me more than these? Lord, you know I love you. Do you know what he said? Jesus said, do you love me like I love you? And Peter said, no, I love you like a brother. If you could have read it in the original text, you know this, that's the way it would have read. We only have that word love, but they had three words for love, and those different words are used here. You know I love you, but not like you love me. So Jesus says a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He dropped more than these, because I think the question was answered. And he said unto him, yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said, feed my sheep. Two different terms have been used for that fluffy, cuddly little animal that we call sheep. Lamb and sheep have been used. Somebody tell us the difference. The age. Do you love the lambs? Do you love the sheep? Where do you think Jesus is going with this? Where do you think he's driving with this? Simon Peter is going to become the head of the church in Jerusalem with James. He's going to stand up and preach on the day of Pentecost, and so he's going to need to be able to feed the flock the Word of God. So do you love me like I love you, Simon? And he says the second time, you know that I love you like a brother. And he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And Jesus uses the same word Simon used in that verse. And Peter was grieved because he'd said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, you know all things. Boy, you know where we need to get, where Simon finally got. You know everything. And so we're just going to leave it up to you, Lord. You know that I love you. And he used the same word all three times. You know I love you like a brother. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. How can you get from denying Christ to being able to present the gospel and 3,000 people get saved? I think this is an integral part in getting there. You have to learn to love Jesus, and you have to learn to love the brethren. You have to be willing to give yourself to the flock. Now, we know in this passage he's talking about the leadership to the flock. But we know in 1 John, John would echo not only these words, but also that we love one another. We, as brothers and sisters in Christ, show that we love God by loving one another. If you say you love your brother, or love God and hate your brother, God says you are a liar and the truth is not in you. And so Simon Peter gets to the point where he can stand up and preach and people get saved by the droves because he learns the lesson of love. He learns where he's at, but he learns that I got a lot of place, room to grow, and I got to get there. I've got to make the journey to where I should be. Because Jesus had already said to them in John's gospel, this commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, how? As I have loved you. Thank you, Dennis. You love one another, even as I have loved you. You know what Jesus didn't say there? Love one another as you love yourself. He didn't say there, love one another as love like you're loved. He said there, love as I have loved you. That steps it up a notch, don't you think? I mean, this ratchets this thing up. I'm supposed to love you like I've been loved by God. How have I been loved by God? By the Lord Jesus Christ, who stretched His arms out on Calvary and He gave His life for me. Now He looked out there at that crowd that had nailed Him to the tree and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He had loved us in grace and mercy when He could have called down 10 legions, 20 legions, 1,000 legions of angels and could have wiped out planet Earth. He hung there and He bled there and He died there loving us. Forgiving us. But God commended His love toward us. He showed, He demonstrated His love toward us in that while you and I were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know how Simon Peter could stand up and preach the Word and share the gospel with such power and such conviction and such passion, where 3,000 people would hear that Word of God in their language? You know how that happened? Because Simon Peter was learning how to love God. Truly love God. And learning how to love people. That's why. You know, sometimes we just have to clear out the field. We just got to clear out the slate and we have to say, you know what? I probably don't know as much about this as I thought I did. I probably am not as good at that as I thought I was. This thing about church, this thing about worship, this thing about prayer, this thing about being a witness, I'm probably not where I think I am. You know where I believe Simon Peter got in that short period of time? I think he got to the place where he realized he was not what he thought he was. Is anybody with me tonight? Simon Peter realized, I'm not the man who I thought I was. I cannot love like I'm supposed to love without God's help. I can't live, I can't serve, I can't die for Jesus like I thought I could. But I want to. I want to get there. I want to pray. I want to love. I want to get to where... I preached a message a long time ago, probably almost 20 years ago, not quite that long, because Emily was just a little girl learning how to talk. And the title of the message was, gosh, it slipped my mind. It's been so long ago. And I wished I could remember that because it was good. Gosh. Do you guys ever have moments like this? Never is a big word. That was the title of the message. Thank you. Thank you. Because Simon Peter said, I'll never do that. They might, but I won't. Remember him saying that? I'll never forsake you. I'll never run. But you know what happened, don't you? Never's a big word. But what he learned in that middle ground was, I can't do it. I can't love like I'm supposed to love. I can't live like I'm supposed to live. There's no way I can serve like I'm supposed to serve. Except you help me, God. Except you fill me. Except you use me. Except I become a vessel that you can use. God, make me an instrument in your hands. Well, Jesus said to him, Simon, when you were a young man, you did whatever you wanted to do, whenever you wanted to do it. But when you get older, they're going to carry you where you don't want to go, and they're going to do to you what you don't want them to do. Speaking of his death. And Jesus said this, just like he'd said it in the beginning, Simon, follow me. You know what Jesus is saying? I'm making tracks in the sand, Simon. Follow me. You do what I do. You say what I say. You respond like I respond. You have passion like I have passion. You do what I do. Follow me. You know what discipleship is? Follow me. Follow me to Sunday school. Follow me to church. Follow me as I read the Word of God and pray. Follow me as I help someone in the name of Jesus. Follow me as I share my story with somebody else. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me to where you're going to be hated. Follow me to where somebody's going to abuse you and use you. Follow me. Simon, follow me. Put your feet in my tracks. You know what I hope for all of us? that we're leaving tracks for somebody to follow, tracks that'll lead them in the right direction. Follow me. And Simon's a lot like me. He turned and looked at John and he said, "What about him?" And Jesus said, "You don't worry about John. If he lives until I come back and get everybody in the rapture, that's up to me. You follow me." You know what Jesus didn't say? He didn't say, "Don't care about your brother. Don't love your brother." He didn't say that. What he said was this: if your brother doesn't follow me, that's up to me. You better follow me. If your brother gets off track, quits what he's supposed to be doing, you follow me. Now, he didn't have that problem with John, did he? We all know John lived out his life living for Jesus and died on the Isle of Patmos. We know that. And Peter and John got along. They loved each other. They served together. But Jesus' emphasis was here: you follow me. You step into my tracks. You do what I do. You say what I say. You follow me. So if everybody falls out of church, you better be following me. If everybody quits Sunday school, you better be following me. If you look up and you don't have anybody to lead the music, you better keep following me. And the end may not be like you want it. It might be the opposite of what you want. But you better, in humility, you better love me and live for me until you come home to me. Follow me. But you know where he learned that? Sitting around that fire with Jesus looking at him and saying, "Do you love me? Do you love me as much as these?" I wonder if we asked that question here tonight, what would be the answer? Hey, do you love Jesus as much as him, her, them, her, them? Do you love Jesus? What Jesus is doing, he's just clearing it all back. He's peeling back the layers of your onion, and he's saying, "Here's what is the reality, son, sir, ma'am. Here is what's real. This is where we can start from. Now, follow me. Build off of that. Love me. Serve me." And we know the rest of the story. Simon Peter served him until they crucified him. And he requested to be crucified upside down. Jesus signified his death in what he said there. And Simon Peter said, "I will not be crucified like my Lord. You turn me upside down." That is love. That is passion. And that is not taught. That is caught. That's something that's inside of you because God puts it there. And he says, "Fan the flame." And you fan the flame, and it grows and billows into something because God is up to something, not because you can do anything. So, how much do we really love Him? Do we love Him more than our work? Do we love Him more than our family? Do we love Him more than the other disciples in this congregation? How much do we really love Him? Pretty good question, isn't it? And are we willing? If nobody else comes with us, that we keep following Him. It's a pretty big question. It's a pretty tall order. I think I'll preach after Christmas. I think I'll preach a message entitled, and I can't remember that either, The Cost of Discipleship. The Cost of Discipleship. What does it really cost to be a disciple of Jesus? To some people that I've run into, you know what they think? I got fire insurance. And they come in, sit on their blessed 18 inches, and get up and go home, and they do nothing for Jesus. They have no witness for Jesus. You couldn't make them do anything. They're like a turnip. They don't taste real good. They're always undercover. They got a little greenery, but that's about it. They're not doing anything for Jesus. JB, I'm trying to land the plane, buddy. Let's bow our heads and I'll ask Emily to come to the piano. Lord, I pray that You'll help us to love You more. Lord, may our prayer be every day, Jesus, help me love You more. And then, Lord, that You'll use us to do great things, as because we're available and we're pliable, like clay in the potter's hand. And we're fillable so the Spirit can come in and do what He wants to through us. Thank You for putting Simon Peter's story in here. Lord, I can identify with that. Help us just to clear the slate, to peel back the layers and just to get where it's at, where it's real in our own hearts. Help us not to point the finger at somebody else, but Lord, help the finger be pointed at me. Where am I? And then God, help us to follow You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What are we singing, Miss Anna? The Footsteps of Jesus. Would you stand? Altar's open. I'll be down here if anybody needs to talk to me or pray with me.